the Oscars is so much scarier to me, and like, I'm not in that world. Like, I feel like I'm a guest that, like, I'm like a plus one to somebody's party. And then like the Grammys is kind of like, oh, that's your homie's party, and like, we're here, and like, I know you guys, like, I love it. It's like friends, it's whatever. Oscars is like, this is the coolest, like, kids, like, what do you, like, the cool kids at the table? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's very, it's intimidating.
Welcome to this very special bonus episode of the Envelope Podcast. I'm Mark Olson. And at the recent Oscar nominees lunch, I had a chance to sit down with Billie Eilish and Finneas to talk about their collaboration on their Oscar-nominated song from the Barbie movie, What Was I Made For? The first thing I just want to ask is, as I understand it, as you were sort of, you know, in talks with Greta Gerwig about doing a song for the Barbie movie, the thing she asked for was Barbie's heart song, like a real something about her sort of interior feelings. And the song you came up with feels so vulnerable and so emotional. Do you think you would have written this song if not for the sort of the Barbie directive?
Great question. Thank you for that. No, I don't think so. I've said this before that, like, it's not, you know, it's not the kind of song that we would, like, never write in a million years. It's totally a song that we would have written. But I think given the period of time we were in and the weird creative zone that we were in and just the kind of darkness surrounding life at the time, I don't think it would have been the way that it was. I don't know. I think that maybe there's a world we could have made that song, but it would have been like years from now. You know, I don't think...
it would have been after we saw the movie in theaters.
Yeah.
Gone home.
Yeah. Fan fiction. Yeah. But we needed the movie to write that song, truly, which I think is really special.
The song itself is interpolated in the score during the movie, yeah. And there's even a sequence that Greta created using home video footage from some of the cast and crew. How did the two of you feel that the song became such a part of the movie?
I was so, honestly, like, I was so ready for it to be, you know, one tiny little 10 second moment of the movie. Even if we gave them a whole song, I thought, like, oh, they'll use like a line from it for something. And that was enough for me. I was like, that's gonna be great. I'm thrilled either way. And then to have so much of the song for such an impactful moment in that movie, such a, like, it's like, that's the moment I think a lot of people leave the theater thinking about, is that one scene where she's feeling, you know, and that montage happens and everything. But then to have so many other little moments throughout the movie have the same melody and have my voice and the humming and things, that was really special. And, you know, props to Mark for that. That was like Mark and Andrew, you know, they had me just record a bunch of different hums and little lyrics here and there, and like some of the little melodies from the song, and then weaved them through the film. And that was really special. I felt really honored for that.
I've just begun to like dabble in composing and scoring. And I think like there's no higher honor to me than a melody or a motif being sort of, spread across the fabric of a film. And I think about like movies that I love that. And one of a sort of strange example I was thinking about the other day was that amazing Nirvana song, Something in the Way, was a big part of the Batman movie. There's so many nods to that motif in the score, which I loved. And again, like, I think it just gives you this kind of like undercurrent of like, it's like very reminiscent the whole time that you hear it, like this deeper thing. It's very exciting.
Billy, the lyric to the song feels so personal. And can you talk a little bit about where your head was at, like what you were exploring in the lyric to the song?
In us sitting there and writing the song for Barbie, we were very much writing for Barbie and for the movie that we just saw directed by Greta Gerwig. And it was so like purely about Barbie and how she feels and how I felt, you know, like I could look through her eyes and see the world and write from her perspective. And I was truly like not thinking about myself. We weren't talking about my life, you know, and when we write, we're talking about the things we're writing about. Obviously we're trying to come up with new lyrics and explaining, oh, well, what was that one scene where she does this? Like, could we say something about that? Never had anything to do with me, like at all. Wasn't about my life. I wasn't thinking about myself. I wasn't thinking about my experience. And like I've said before, it was like a couple days later, I was playing it for a friend and I was listening to it and I had a very weird, eerie, kind of shocking moment of realizing that it was like subconsciously fully about me and my life and my, yeah, that was kind of crazy. And that happens. That's what the beauty of music and art is, that you don't, you know, I was thinking about this the other day because I did this photo shoot for something that's coming, and I was like, you know, someone was like, what's the meaning? Because the meaning means this to me. And like, did you think of that? And I was like, oh, like, sure. Like, I don't, kind of the art, you just make art. You're not thinking why. And then it's like, it's later that you kind of realize, oh, okay, that's what I was subconsciously doing. It's amazing.
And I heard you say in another interview that your vocal performance on the song, you wanted it to specifically feel like you just stopped crying.
Sure.
And I'm just curious about what is the technical challenge of that? Like, how, like, and in some ways, like, do you feel like you're acting in some sense when you're singing?
That's great. I think to an extent, yeah. I mean, it's performing, you know. And I think like all kinds of performing is it's all about committing, and you can't go half hard when you do so. I don't know. I think like, I don't know. It wasn't dissimilar to how I've sung a lot in my life, but I think in that like specific time, especially like the key that we wrote it in and the phrasing and how long the phrases are and when there are certain breaths within the phrasing, it makes all of it completely different. And it was definitely like the hard choice. Like I don't know what could have been harder for me. I think that the way that I wanted it to sound was going to be the way that it was the most challenging. And it may not sound challenging and, you know, whatever, but it is. It's really hard to sing really, really softly and convey the kind of message you want. But I also wanted to be, you know, I wanted it to be very enunciated, and I wanted you to hear what I was saying, but also feel it. And so it was like a mixture of both. I don't know.
It's all about making the listener believe what you're saying, right? I mean, and I think that's one of Billie's real superpowers as the person that sits and listens to her record, is like these lines, especially this song, these lines that are sort of clearly metaphorical in this sense, and, you know, at the very least pertain to this fictional story about a doll.
Yeah.
I totally believe that it turns out Billie's not real and she's just something you paid for. I totally believe that when I listen to her say it.
Billie, you directed the video for What Was I Made For? And I'm just curious how you found that experience, and do you think you're going to be doing any more directing?
Yeah, I directed the music video for What Was I Made For, which was my, I don't know how many I've done now, but I've been directing since like 2019, I think. And it was always something I wanted to do, always a passion of mine. And I kind of just had to like convince people that I could do it.
Turns out I'm not real, just something you paid for. What was I made for?
Directing this video was, I think, my favorite of any that I've done. And I think maybe like my most...
It's my favorite video you've directed.
I think it's one of my favorites that I've directed. And I really would love to keep directing and, you know, maybe direct something else bigger someday. I want to direct for other people for sure when I have time.
When I've worked with a great director, I felt this way when we were working with Greta on this film that we saw before it had been even finished. She wasn't even done editing it. You know, she could describe to you exactly how something was going to fall into the next sequence of it. And I could just see that it was all already there in her head, already put together. And I think that's like when I see Billie make these music videos, she has that, you know. So I can't wait to see what else she directs.
Also nominated for an Oscar this year is the song I'm Just Ken, that was written by Mark Ronson and Andrew Wyatt. And first of all, I'm just curious, what do the two of you think of that song?
It's great.
It's
so perfect for the movie. It's so perfect for Ken, and just the goofiness and the silliness of that character.
It just makes me laugh. I mean, I love Greta Gerwig so much, and I feel like I can so see the kind of like, I want there to be this crazy dance montage ballad scene, and we need this song of this like crazy character played so well by Ryan, and I don't know, the whole thing is just like so entertaining and funny to me.
I'm just Ken, anywhere else I'd be Ten. Is it my destiny to live and die a life of blonde fragility?
Now, what do you think you would have done if you had to write the Ken song?
It's a great question. I actually thought about that. I don't know. I think we would have, you know, we wrote the music for
Turning Red.
This movie called Turning Red, which is an animated movie, and we wrote songs that were for a boy band within the movie to sing, and that was like one of our favorite tasks to do because you're just like channeling the kind of goofy,
we got silly,
yeah, kitschy, campy like vibe of it. Mm-hmm. I think that it kind of reminded me of that when I heard I'm Just Ken. I was like, oh yeah, that I bet they had fun like goofing around.
Yeah, we would put like double negatives in the chorus, and we had the
it was very line. Dramatic. I drove by your house 10,000 times last year.
Yeah, we just like, really played into the kind of silly, over the top quality of it.
Yeah.
So we definitely connected with that.
Was the process of creating your Barbie song similar to when you created your Bond song?
You know, I would say that the day we were sitting at a piano writing the song was not super dissimilar, but everything surrounding that was pretty different. Mm-hmm. I mean, Bond was this like 5 month long audition of like sort of reading the script and submitting the song and going to London and trying out orchestra stuff with Hans and Matt Dunkley and Johnny Marr. And, you know, I think the Barbie universe was like, we sent the song in, they put it in the movie, we produced it out, they added some strings, and it was like, it was just this kind of like, it was much, much less sort of like, feeling of like, oh my God, this may never work out, which mm-hmm. is a real super luxury that we don't take for granted.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that was kind of the feeling. It's like as soon as the song existed, we felt like now it's just our job to make the song sound as good as we possibly can.
Yeah.
And now we're speaking before the Oscars nominees lunch, which a lot of people, I know it's their sort of their one of their favorite stops along the sort of campaign trail. And I'm curious for the two of you, especially considering you just recently won 2 Grammys for your Barbie song. Congratulations.
Lucky us.
Can you compare like the process of the Grammys to the Oscars? Like, what is it like going through those kind of like, those, for lack of a better term, campaigns?
Mm-hmm. God, it's funny. People are always, they're very different. It's like a whole different thing. I think that, you know, both are so incredible in so many different ways. Like the Oscars is so much scarier to me. And like, I'm not in that world. Like, I feel like I'm a guest that like, I'm like a plus one to somebody's party. And I'm like trying to do my best and like, you know, be very, I don't know. I want to make a good impression, you know? So like maybe I get invited again or not. I don't know. But I just want to like, I don't want to break anything. I don't want to stumble. I don't want to spill anything. Like I'm just trying to, you know, and then like the Grammys is kind of like, oh, that's your homies party. And like, we're here. And like, I know you guys, like, I love it. It's like friends. It's whatever. Oscars is like, this is the coolest, like kids. Like, what do you like the cool kids at the table? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's very, it's intimidating. Performing at the Oscars, which I've done now twice, terrifying, horribly terrifying, but in a great way. Like I love it. I can't, you know, I can't get enough of it. I can't wait to do it again.
Underneath everything else is like how much familiarity you have with the other people in the room, right? So by the time we were at our first Grammys, we knew a lot of those musicians. We'd played festivals with them. We'd made songs with them. So we had this kind of, you're just seeing friends. And I remember the first time we went to the Oscars, we weren't even nominated or anything. We just did the In Memoriam song, but you know, we knew nobody. And then the only other time we've been to the luncheon before this, you know, you're standing there and it's like Denzel's over here and Kristen Stewart's over here. And like, you know, like we're not actors. We don't really have, you know, much in the way of being like, yeah, we're the same, other than just being like, you're so talented. So, yeah, it's an intimidating experience, but the disclaimer is that everyone's been really warm and generous and kind to us. So
Yeah. Nobody's
making us feel that way. We're just feeling that way because we have imposter syndrome.
No, it's funny. I feel the same way. I'm like a movie person. And when I'm around music people, like I don't really get anxious or nervous around movie people, mm-hmm. but around music people, because it's like a different world. You're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree. I'm right there with you.
Phineas, I want to ask, the Barbie song is such a really stripped down piano ballad, but the production on it is actually much more sophisticated than that. And there's a lot going on in the background.
Thank you, very kind of you to say.
Well, is it a challenge to both sort of build it up and have it feel stripped down, to not have the production get in the way?
It's definitely the challenge I'm the most interested in pursuing. I think that, again, it's like I've failed as a producer. No matter how cool or complicated or hard I've worked, I've failed as a producer if I'm in the way of Billie's vocal. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. To me, her vocal, the story of the song, the melody, the lyrics, like that is the DNA of the thing. So if I'm doing anything in the way of that, I failed. But, you know, to make something feel dynamic and feel like you go on a journey from the first second of the song to the final second of the song, it's like a process of feeling like where you can stretch it and where you can push it and little accents to just support everything else. So yeah, we do kind of like in some ways the quieter, the more minimal the piece of music we're working on, the more we kind of kill ourselves to add these tiny little flourishes and accents. And again, like that's so satisfying to me. And if people perceive the production as like very simple and mostly piano and vocal, fantastic. Mm-hmm. As long as they love the song. And if they then kind of like really turn up the volume and listen to it and hear all the nuance and the layers, like that's a bonus too. But I'm never sort of sitting with somebody like, did you hear that? Like, I just want them to love the song. And then I've done my job.
I do that. I do. I sit there and I'm like,
check this out.
Listen to this part.
Is there anything, Billy, in the song, in the production of the song that like you particularly
God, yeah. So, I mean, it's all of it, really. Yeah, there's this little swoop that we talked about, like, woo, that is just Phineas's voice, like weird and muffled and echoed and verby in the second, like half of the first verse. And I love that.
There's a toy. There's a little keyboard that I have that's made by General Electric. It's a kid's toy. Billy played it, and I ran it through this like old,
yeah, I love
like
that.
Sketch cassette, like tape emulator. But again, like the sort of marriage of like this song about a doll and Billy playing a little toy.
It's like this
keyboard.
Little tiny toy keyboard, and
so
it's like
so fun. I love the way it sounds. Like the sound of it breaks my heart.
Yeah, I felt really proud of that when I did that. And then I loved some of the harp that Andrew and Mark added. I thought that was really beautiful. The ascending harp that goes into the second chorus is really pretty. I love like all the bass and the movement, and Phineas and I played a lot with like doing different effects on different parts of my voice throughout the song,
and
like
reverbs.
Adding verb and adding delay on just like certain lines, and I always love doing that with him. Yeah, I mean, I love the song so much. It's I love it.
I know, Billy, you mentioned singing at the Oscars. Mm-hmm. Can you give us any hint of anything that we might expect from a performance at this year's Oscars?
Well, you know, simple and sweet, and I don't know. I don't want to ever be in anybody's face, but I want to be, you know, the person, like the voice of whoever is quiet in the corner, you know? So, yeah, hopefully I can translate for people who don't want to speak up. I don't know. Simple, easy.
Obviously, you have your Barbie song, you've done your Bond song, and actually one of your songs is the sort of in the credit sequence for the current season of True Detective.
Yes.
Yeah. Lucky us.
What is it about your music that the two of you think works so well, like in movies and TV?
Not to be too, you know, presumptuous, but I think, you know, we really write from a place of kind of fantasy, and everything has these, like, we're very interested in concept. And like the song that's in this new season of True Detective, even when we first, you know, wrote and recorded it, like there were so many sound effects in it. It was this really dark piece of music, and we were very conscious of that when we were making it. So, you know, again, it's like without sort of trying to, our fantasy is always that it's married to some amazing piece of television or film. The new season of True Detective, I love. It's my favorite season since the first season. Maybe the similarity is that when we make music, we really make it from this kind of place of drama and of it's very sort of hyper thematic. It's the goal.
I agree.
Yeah.
And then when the two of you are collaborating, when you're writing and conceiving of things, are movies a part of that? Like, do you share movies with each other? Like, I want this kind of vibe.
Yeah, actually, we, you know, we've just always been such huge fans of film and TV. And I think that, like, music in film and TV is something that is so, like, kind of gets taken for granted. I think that, like, the music in a movie can make the movie spectacular and or make it terrible. And I've seen movies that I'm like, oh, my God, I like that movie, but the score, like, really was driving me crazy, and vice versa, where a score was like made a movie completely, yeah, the glue, like made it what it is, made it so special. And it doesn't mean, you know, the movie isn't great or whatever on its own, but it just enhances what's already so amazing. And so growing up, we've always related to all the stuff we like. Phineas is always showing me movies that he loves, and I'm always, because I don't, I never am like up on what's out and like who's made anything. And so Phineas is like, you need to check watch this out. And he'll show me a lot of movies, and pretty much all my favorite movies were because Phineas showed me them.
That's
very sweet. Like Drive, like I, Origins, like
both of those movies, The Social great Network, music.
That Social Network is an
incredible
big.
Score.
The score is amazing. Ex Machina,
Fruitvale Station, of years ago.
Yeah, lots of. We need to talk about Kevin. Was you too?
Oh yeah, great movie.
Yeah, I never find any movies on my own.
A great song put in a great movie, like you'll like that song in a different way for the rest of your life. It's really profound. It's very cool.
Yeah.